You're listening to a Rare Drop podcast. Check us out at raredrop.co.
Well, hello, everyone. My name is Rakari Austin, and I'm one of the hosts of GCX 2022. Now, we want you to join us at Rosen Shingle Creek in Orlando, Florida, as we come together for another unforgettable GCX. Tickets are going fast, and look, we want to see you. So visit gcxevent.com/tickets to book now.
Coffee is freshly roasted and ethically sourced. It's music to your ears. Shake up the way you wake up at kingscoastcoffee.com.
You thought Paul was recording and you tried, because we were talking about my prostate before we started.
I thought it would have been a good intro. Now you just forced it into the conversation, so now it's weird.
Talking about the iron constitution of my prostate.
Welcome to episode 82, a celebration of Kevin's prostate. I'm Tim, also known as Darkness 429.
Prostate celebration.
Also known as Darkness 429, Facebook gaming streamer, entrepreneur, Star Wars fan, and aficionado. Joined alongside me, as always, Kevin, a.k.a.
When did you add all those titles?
A.k.a. K-Magic 101, a.k.a. CEO of Rare Drop, a.k.a. Executive Producer of GCX.
You're like a man at like a medieval banquet. Like the Honorable Darkness
429. Honorable Kevin, the Duke of Winterton, and the Honorable...
Yeah. That would be could you imagine having to introduce someone with like that long title every time?
We should do that at a dinner one night.
That would be so obnoxious.
Tim Havelock, known as Streamer Darkness 429.
There actually is a restaurant in Stockholm, Sweden that is a Viking theme restaurant. And so anytime anyone comes, the hostess will ask you, where are you from? What is your name? And so they will present you as Lord so-and-so from the state or the country or wherever. And everyone's like, ha! They all celebrate and drink mead. It's a great experience.
They do that at Liberty Tavern, too, at Disney. They'll be like, the Havelock family from the Commonwealth of Florida.
Mm-mm. It's cooler when it's in Sweden, though.
Well, yeah, because they have an accent. And it's like Vikings and mead and all that stuff. So, yeah, it's definitely cooler.
Anyways,
welcome to the episode about my prostate. It's not actually about my prostate.
That was such a cluster of an open.
Sometimes we got to do that and keep them, make sure they're listening and, you know, paying attention. It's
82
not just
episodes, and this is where we're at, guys.
Regular ass podcast. But welcome to Star Wars and Scotch. Before we get started, obviously, as always, I am drinking delicious King's Coast coffee this morning, and it is delicious. I actually don't know what my wife made this morning because she ground something new, and there was 4 bags in there. So, I, unlike Wayne and Pete, cannot tell by taste, but it's good.
I am drinking another Roaster's Choice. This one had notes of one of the notes was syrupy, and that one caught my attention. I can understand where Wayne was coming from when he got that note, but it was just like, it was a fun descriptor, just syrupy. I was like, I've got to figure out what syrupy really tastes like. So here we are.
Love a good syrupy note.
Love syrupy notes in my coffee. So,
but you can go over to kingscoastcoffee.com. First cold brew drop sold out very quickly, so keep your eyes peeled. Make sure you sign up for the mailing list. For the next one, Bali High just went as well.
Really cool. Just saying.
So, yeah, the next one,
in case you were wondering, is going to be really cool.
There's actually 2 coming soon, Tim, because there's the other
one. Yeah, but the one that I'm talking about.
One before
about,
the
Kevin,
other one?
Pretty cool.
Wink, wink, chat!
Well, so cold brew is coming, kingscoastcoffee.com. And make sure you go over to gcxevent.com and grab your tickets. Star Wars panel hasn't been announced officially, even though Tim and I have talked about it here. It's me and Tim, Mark Thompson, Sawyerism, who's been on the show a few times from TikTok, and Alex and Molly from Star Wars Explained, who have also been on the show. Yep. We are also going to be on Star Wars Explained in right before GCX. I don't know what day, so we'll get more info on that. I believe it's the Wednesday before.
Some of that.
I know. I'm assuming it's live on YouTube.
That I don't know. Sense. I don't know. We'll figure it out.
I was talking to Molly yesterday, so I'll ask her. So gcxevent.com. Come hang out for the Star Wars panel. If you can't, You'll still be able to catch it at home. Don't worry. We will be streaming everything just like we always do. But yeah, we would love to have you in person hanging out. A lot of the broadcasters that'll be there are being announced. Some of the partners, Floor Plan will be out in the next few weeks. So you can see all the vendors. We actually, ironically, have more vendors than we've ever had.
It's a good problem to have.
Yeah, it's for, in a head count. We have more vendors than we have ever had. So that's exciting. And there's more every day, but Randy's cutting me off next week from adding more to the floor.
Good.
So gcxevent.com/tickets. We are 15 days away from Obi-Wan.
Kevin, you were talking about GCX and just went said 15 days. I'm like, till what? There's no way.
No, we're exactly a month away from GCX.
Yeah, we're a month out.
Oh, literally 1 month.
15 days. Yeah, 15 days. We're 2 weeks out from Obi-Wan.
We actually had an internal meeting last night about Celebration and Obi-Wan and everything we need to do for Star Wars and Scottish. That's how seriously we take this.
Yeah, no, this one's going to be really good. I mean, like, I was talking to Amy about this the other day. I was like, for some reason, our coverage of the shows on Disney Plus, just people love to hear our reactions, and they just it always does really, really well for us.
We did some
behind the scenes filming, behind closed doors filming for some stuff as well for this. Like, we're going just like balls to the wall. We're just punching it, Chewie.
I didn't know if I needed to make like a.
I was hoping.
I've been playing Lego Star Wars with Hunter. By the way,
it's good, right?
Yeah, we're just got to the asteroid field in Empire, but we're having fun. It's really cute. I loved the AT-AT walkers acting like dogs at the one point where he like steps on the speeder and then looks at us.
It's really good. It's very fun.
It's been fun, and he's like into it now. He keeps asking me to play, so I'm excited. But yeah, that game's been fun. But let's talk about the Obi-Wan trailer. Last week we didn't do an episode because I got sick. I got like a 24-hour bug, and I was literally trying to power through it to do the episode, and I ended up laying down in the studio on the couch for an hour, like doubled over. So I went home. So we had to reschedule with Darth Chaco. But even if we recorded the episode, literally probably as Tim and I were saying, may the force be with you, the Obi-Wan trailer would have dropped.
Hey guys, love to hear your take on this in today's episode.
So,
you have to wait till next week.
So here we are. It was almost fitting that we didn't put out an episode because we were able to wait till this week anyway and do it. But the trailer dropped May the 4th, which honestly was the only thing that dropped on May the 4th this year. Did you notice that?
Yeah. Oh no, that's not true. The Boba Fett, the behind the scenes also dropped. I need to watch
the gallery. I'm gonna watch
the gallery. I haven't watched it yet. I need to watch it. I love those. I just love seeing all of just the little nuances that just go on.
I always get inspired after the gallery stuff to like really push to bring to life some of the stuff that we've storyboarded and screwed with, and you know, want to do on our own. It's just, you know, GCX season makes it difficult to be creative. So, hopefully next year.
It's also really cool when you have Mickey Mouse money.
Yeah, it helps.
You really get to do some cool stuff when you've got Mickey Mouse money.
I mean, we'll talk about Doctor Strange a little bit later, but seeing Doctor Strange 2, it really makes you realize the investment they made into things like Star Wars and Marvel and what they're getting out of it.
Sure.
You know, the fact that Marvel Studios sits on its own as its own studio, and they have Lucas, which sits on its own as its own production company. They work with ILM too, but it's pretty amazing. You know, Marvel to me is probably one of the greatest stories ever told across so many different movies and mediums. And then Star Wars, obviously, through so many different pieces of media, you know, piecing a story together almost, you know, like a puzzle as we go along. But this trailer dropped on May the 4th at literally like 9 a.m.
Yeah.
And,
there's no way that
so
we
would have been wrapping up.
Yeah.
Nothing too groundbreaking. Some of the scenes we've seen already, characters we've seen already. I would say that the line from Uncle Owen that became a meme this week of just like his father was pretty brutal.
Yeah, I think you're right. This trailer didn't like do anything crazy. I think all it did is it set the gravitas of how important this show is going to be with continuing that story arc of Anakin Skywalker and telling it through the Obi-Wan lens, because that last part when Anakin's getting all suited up, and that's the scene that he talked about when he was like, holy shit, that's Darth Vader. Yeah. That's the scene where Vader's behind him and he has to turn around. And so I'm thinking, so that right there, he gets captured by the Inquisitors at some point. They know not to kill him. They bring him to Darth Vader. So that so will probably...
He's in that prison that we go to in Jedi Fallen Order.
I think so. I think they take him to the Inquisitorial base before it's destroyed, you know, because we've seen that in Fallen Order, but Cal Kestis destroys that 5 years... Hold on. Sorry. Oh, that's 5 years before. So that's a new base that they rebuilt. Sorry. Because Cal Kestis takes place 5 years after episode 3.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
Obi-Wan
the base
takes place 5 years after
the base wasn't
Fallen
destroyed.
Order.
That's easily
it was like
explained.
Yeah, it was like partially destroyed and then they rebuilt.
It's that Fortress Inquisitorius is what it's called.
Yeah, and in what planet is it on? I always forget.
I mean, they say it in the game. Why doesn't it say it here?
Wikipedia doesn't say it.
I'm skipping around. Fortress.
Waiting for production to just be like, it's this.
Oh, he's going to beat me to it. Watch. Fortress Inquisitorius was a heavily armed underwater stronghold located on the moon Nur.
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 Take them to the planet Nur.
You know, it's just like,
you
it just
sound
like
what's his name from Buzz Lightyear? Evil Emperor Zurg when you do
Buzz Lightyear.
Buzz Lightyear.
Segwaying because we saw the trailer for
Lightyear. Yeah, the trailer was really good. I'm really excited to see that movie.
Do you think they're going to go with the plot point that Buzz is Emperor Zurg's son still?
Oh my God. I forgot. That was a plot point in Toy Story.
I think it was Toy Story 2 or 3. I can't remember which
yeah,
one.
Yeah, it's one of them. But yeah, you find out it's his... Because they play off of Star Wars.
Yes, completely.
Buzz,
that's why I'm curious.
I am your father. No!
Yeah, that's why I'm curious.
Yeah, that's really good. Well, so speaking of more crossovers as well, we saw Doctor Strange, and no spoilers here at all. We're not going to spoil Doctor Strange, so you don't have to worry about it. But there is a sequence that potentially links Star Wars to Marvel. I think it's a load of crap.
Without spoilers. It's the multiverse of madness, okay? Without spoiling anything. You'll be shocked to know that there is a scene where they go through the multiverse very quickly.
Yeah, almost like they were going mad. You know, the multiverse of madness.
So they show shots of various universes as they're going through it. There you go. I don't think I ruined anything by saying
that. No,
because
that's in every single trailer. And if you've been trying to avoid the trailers,
it's in the title of the movie.
Yeah, what are you doing here?
Anyway, there is a scene where they go to a looks like a lava planet, literally looks just like Mustafar, to the point where Tim leaned over and said, "Kevin, it's Mustafar," in the movie theater.
I jokingly said it's Mustafar, not thinking it was actually Mustafar.
And here we are.
And here we are talking about the very scene where I leaned over and said, "Kevin, it's Mustafar."
So the topic today is, does Star Wars exist in the Marvel multiverse?
I mean, okay. All right. So here is why I want to say no, because I think that's a load of bullshit that the Marvel universe and Star Wars, I don't think there's any realm in which they could coexist. Now, if we look at it
Marvel
from the great... Hold
Star
on.
Wars
wait.
Comics.
Hold on. Shut up, Kevin. Let me say it. As far as the Disney metaverse, the entire thing they're trying to build where you... the viewer, you, the consumer, you, the customer, are able to transcend different IPs within the Disney universe is why this is possible, and why Kevin's saying that Marvel makes the Star Wars comic books. It's because they want to be able for you to go back and forth with your character, to go see Captain America and then go to Mustafar and see Anakin. And so for all of that to exist, it all has to exist together. It all has to make sense because Disney's really good at telling stories. And so for a metaverse to exist in this new future that we are going to find ourselves in very, very soon, very, very quickly, where you already see it right now, this AR, this augmented reality of you being able to go to Disneyland and you can go to Avengers headquarters and you can buy this stupid little micro transaction spider web thing that now has a Doctor Strange add-on that you can take on the Spider-Man ride, and now you can use Doctor Strange magic powers in the Spider-Man AR VR shooter thing. Like, that's the beginning of this. Like, what's not to say that you'll be able to take a lightsaber, you know, into another ride, and it can go into a Marvel ride, and it all crosses over.
Can I be super nerdy for one second before you finish?
Sure, go for it.
When you talk about the Doctor Strange thing in the Spider-Man ride, the thing that bothers me is that you're just going to probably have to hit a button or go like this instead of having to be like...
Oh, yeah, no, I've watched the video. You literally just... It's because all the blaster is that they're just shooting webs. So when they're doing it, they're just putting their hand up and just going...
Yeah, so I'm gonna put Gatekeeping Nerd hat on right now and be like, that just goes against the entire lore sequence of the ability to cast...
They don't care. They got Doctor you to Strange's buy powers. A $30 web blaster with a $20 add-on. They don't care if it's lore appropriate.
Kim, I'm just saying, from the lore appropriate standpoint, it just does not jive with
you. Know what's funny is that guy right there is going to buy it. He's going to be pissed off about it, and he's still going to buy it.
I have to experiment with it to make sure that I hate it. That's the whole point, is that even though it is fun to sit and to ride and cast things, I need to make sure that I completely hate it, and I need to make sure that my blog reflects it. My website,
of course,
my Twitter,
a fucking blog.
My TikTok, my Instagram. Everyone knows that I hate it.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, that was my point. Continue on your Star Wars.
No, that's pretty much it. I think why they're making it cross the multiverse.
So I haven't watched What If yet, but apparently Mustafar is also in What If.
I didn't catch that, but that doesn't surprise me.
It's in the Infinity Ultron fighting Jeffrey Wright's Watcher.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So apparently that's Mustafar that they're on.
Interesting. Well, I mean, so here we go. I mean, like, that is it. It is, they are making the multiverse transcend a bunch of different IPs so that it works, so that it all makes sense, so that when we are in the metaverse wearing our VR, AR goggles, we are able to just
jump around. Do you remember
Disney's
preface to all of this? Do you remember what it was for Wii? I think it was Wii U. Mm-mm. Disney Infinity.
Oh, that's right. Shit, I forgot about Disney Infinity. That was another one. That was another crossover.
My oldest daughter had Disney Infinity, and basically, if you don't remember what it was Wii U. It came with this pad that had three shapes on it, and you would plug it into the USB port as a controller, and then you would have to buy the figures that fit the certain shapes, and then you could play as them in the Disney multiverse, essentially. Yep. So you could take Jack Sparrow into Incredibles. You could take... you know, Mike Wazowski into Toy Story, and, you know, it mixed everything up and you could do all this crazy stuff. That's the precursor. That was the precursor to all of this.
Yep.
They never had the support they needed for it, so they did shut it down, and they just, like, left a playground you could play on Wii U.
And now you have Fortnite, because Fortnite does the exact same damn thing, and it doesn't cost Disney anything. The problem with
Disney makes money.
Right, exactly. The problem with the Wii U, like the Skylanders and the Disney and, like, all those things, is that it's just an RFID chip that's on there. Like, so they have to spend money doing the plastic and the RFID chip. I bet you people found hacks to get around that. So they were losing money on all these DLCs that they were creating with their developers because no one was going out and buying these actual physical DLCs you had to go and play something on. But Fortnite releases a skin pack for all their Star Wars guys. I bought every single one. They do Marvel heroes. I buy those. And now I can take my favorite heroes from my favorite movies and shows and play with them in Fortnite. Fortnite is going to be one of those gateways into that Disney metaverse. And that's it. This is how we do it.
And I've fought microtransactions for most of my streaming career. Like,
sure.
I was completely against it. It's getting to the point where you just can't avoid it.
It's inevitable.
To the point where... you know, I'm a sucker for skins and games I like. I really am. Like, Star Wars The Old Republic, I've spent cartel coins on skins just because I want to look a certain way. And I know that's like the antithesis of the MMO player, but gaming has changed. Like, that's just what it is. So, correlating what Tim just said with Disney making money, you know, my latest one was they released the collector's edition information for Gotham Knights yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm going to buy it because it has a statue of all four of them on it. Yeah, and then it really they're good. Like, yeah. It also includes these skin colors and Batman Beyond skins for every character. Like, it's like the TikTok. Oh, fuck. You know, like, they have me. So, as much as we make fun of the people with the ride, Disney's making a killing off of it, and the add-ons are completely intelligent. And you're right, it's going to segue to a point where you're going to be able to build your lightsaber and take it in. They already have it with the droids. When you go to Disney and you build a droid, you can take the droid around with you, and the droid will react to things in Batuu.
Yep.
When the First Order's around, your droid gets scared, and you can, if it's on, you'll hear it in your bag go, like, it makes noise like it's scared. When Rey is around, it gets excited. So they're already doing it. They're just testing it before they take it to the point that Tim was talking about.
Yep.
Back to the multiverse, though. I think it's possible for it to exist there. I really do. I don't see a reason why you couldn't have a crossover. If anything, Tim, there's a world where, like, Visions could be part of the Marvel multiverse.
Sure.
Does that make
sense?
I'm
just telling you, if we're watching a Knights, like a Old Republic movie, and Strange or Captain America or Thor or any of them show up, I'm going to be so pissed.
I don't think they would do that. I think they'll keep it separate. I think it's more for, like, mobile games.
Yeah,
and
it's to build, it is just storytelling building. It's to build that continuity of belief of instead of, like, when you play a game and you get a skin pack, right? Let's say your favorite game, I'm going to use Rainbow Six Siege, for example. And they go and they do some crazy skin pack, and you love this game. And then they partner with this crazy company, and they have all of these skins that just don't make sense. You're just like, why the hell are these things in my game? Disney, on the other hand, is building this foundation. So it's not this, like, jarring experience. It doesn't just, like, rip you out of the universe. You're just like, this doesn't make sense to me. It's, they're slowly just giving you this little bit, little trickles, little sprinkles. And it builds that confidence of, like, oh, this makes sense to me. Visions, what if? Even the multiverse of madness in Loki are all building on these ideas of, you can have multiple universes. No one has a really good understanding of multiverse and how those things work. And DC tried to do it. A couple other properties have tried to do it, and no one's really been able to really grasp the idea. So I think Disney is doing it really well with Marvel, and how they just slowly introduce these little ideas that build these massive, massive pictures when they're all painted out.
Disney just released the Mirrorverse mobile game. Did you see the trailer for that?
No.
So it's essentially what you're describing, where, you know, it's got, like, Sully in, like, bionic armor, and Belle has this, like, mage's staff. And,
yeah, that's sick.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool. I haven't downloaded it yet. I actually meant to. Like, Mulan, there's a scene where Mulan has, like, these powers where she's, like, has these spinning swords.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking at it right now. This is cool.
You know, but they specifically say Pixar and Disney. They don't say Marvel and Star Wars. So I'm assuming,
but it's,
you know,
in the Mirrorverse.
Like, this works.
So
we'll start dropping packs, you know, for you to do it. But again, it's the same thing. Like, they also have it mixed into other Disney games like this, like the hero games where you build up the heroes and, you know, level them up and give them armor and stuff. They haven't done that with Star Wars. They haven't mixed Star Wars and Marvel. Like, Marvel has their own, Star Wars has their own, and then Disney as an IP with Pixar has their own. So it'd be interesting to see as they start to mix things more on that level. And again, like you said, I don't think Doctor Strange is gonna, like, come out of a portal when we meet Revan for the first time in live action. Oops, sorry.
Wrong movie.
But Easter eggs are always fun, and then, you know, as we gaming and, you know, like you said, Fortnite did it, so that means somebody else is gonna do it in the future too,
and
want
Fortnite
all these IPs.
Fortnite is lore. It's Marvel lore. And the way they do that is by showing Thor playing Fortnite in the last one they killed the last end game. So
Fat Thor playing Fortnite was
It was great. But I mean, like, so that's how you tie it all together, and then you go down the rabbit hole of, like, okay, so if Fortnite is lore to Marvel, and if DC skins are in Fortnite, that means the Marvel DC multiverse is 100% a real thing. So the idea
of
a crossover could totally happen.
I still maintain that Disney will buy DC before 2027. I said within 5 years. Before 2027, Disney will buy DC. Watch.
I mean,
DC is in financial trouble right now. They can't get their movies off the ground. The Batman did very well.
Yeah.
And they're going to build a universe around Batman, but you don't think they want to get capitalize on the rest of the roster? You know, you have a new Superman coming. Henry Cavill's like, oh, I want to play Superman again. They can't get their shit together.
Yep.
You know, you just squandered away Jason Momoa as Aquaman, which is one of the worst moves I've ever seen, because you finally managed to make Aquaman cool and you screwed it up.
Yeah.
So Disney, I guarantee you Disney will buy DC before 2027.
Somebody needs to. Warner Brothers screwing themselves.
Oh, yeah.
Rough.
Disney will buy it, and then they're going to have some similar deal like they have with Marvel and Universal with all of the Six Flags parks, because the Six Flags parks all have DC characters.
Yeah.
But man, mess. Can you imagine going out to Avengers Campus next to the Hall of Justice?
That'd be so cool.
Yeah, like some superhero island or something where, you know, it's like, it'd just be wild. But yeah. Then, you know, after the multiverse, when you're done with Marvel, the next thing you do is you take the multiverse to blend them together.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, exactly. Batman showing up arm in arm with Captain America to fight Darkseid or something, who met Thanos, and they're like, let's destroy the world together. You know, whatever. So,
yeah.
Anyway, just wait for it. Yeah. So, is it likely that there is a multiverse with all of them in it? Sure. Like you said, Fortnite exists, but I don't think we'll ever see anything movie or TV wise. It's like, but I could see more what if stuff that could cross
for
over.
Sure. Yeah. Well, because that's their playground. That's what allows them to build out these certain fantasies and see if it works.
Yeah, I mean, that's what Visions was, too. And Visions Season 2 is coming. I think it's the end of this year or early next year.
It's awesome. I hope we get another, like, Ninth Jedi. Oh,
so good.
Yeah, Paul brought up the crossover comics. There was a few series of crossover comics. I forget who did them. There was a company that did them back in the day in the 90s. I had a few issues. There was one where the multiverse merged. Did you ever read that one, Tim?
No, but the only crossover for Marvel DC that I was ever introduced to was the Sega game, the Sega fighter game. It was the Marvel DC fighter game.
That was a fun game.
And so that's how I actually learned about a lot of those characters, was by playing that video game.
And now it's all like the DC characters show up in Mortal Kombat because of Injustice and vice versa.
Yeah.
But Amalgam Comics, thank you. That was who made them. I had three issues and one of the graphic novels from Amalgam. If you can get your hands on them, Tim, it's actually a really good read, because, like, so what happens is something happens to the multiverse and they actually, like, smash into each other.
Okay.
So, like, Wolverine and Batman is one person.
Oh, I have seen pictures of this.
And Superman and Captain America is one person. And the Joker, I forget who the Joker, I think it might have been the Joker and Sabretooth or something, is one person.
Oh, gross.
Yeah, it's pretty cool stuff. And the images are well drawn and fun. It was the 90s at some point that it came out.
90s comics were like on a whole different level.
Oh my god, they were the best. What's funny is too is like that was the beginning of them starting to lose money as well.
Yeah.
You know, that's when because Marvel's been making Star Wars comics since what, the 80s?
See, I didn't know that.
Yeah, no, they've had a long, long, long deal with Marvel, which is why it was kind of a marriage, you know, made in heaven that way. I also think that's part of the reason Bob Iger wanted to bring everyone together, was because Marvel and Star Wars had already worked together.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So keeping them under the same roof, you know, well, the new CEO's got some other things to deal with aside from mergers and acquisitions. So,
oh my God. Well, you know, the one thing that he can't mess up is hopefully Ahsoka,
which started filming on Monday.
That's exciting.
Dave's hat sitting on the director's chair.
And they've done a really good job of keeping this shrouded in mystery for the most part. Like, we know a couple people that have been casted, but that's it.
I like get off on the people that are angry about Rosario Dawson as Ahsoka.
Why? Show me someone else that can play that role.
Oh, I love it. I just read the comments and I'm like, you will never be happy. Just stop.
I don't get it. I think she plays Ahsoka very well. I mean,
they're like
it's,
oh, the voice, Ashley Eckstein has a completely different voice.
Because she's an adult now, you dumbass.
It's like, okay, whatever.
So she's a teenager in Clone Wars, and she's a little bit older in Rebels. At this point, she's a lot older, like 20 years older. Your voice gets deeper.
I mean, we had a whole different Han Solo. Somebody's got to take over for Darth Vader when James Earl Jones decides to leave us. I hope he never does, but he will.
I mean, he's going to go to a galaxy far, far away, and that's okay.
Yeah. It's like, it's just, if you want things to keep progressing, then we need to move forward. But I have a feeling people don't want things to keep progressing.
You know what's cool, though, about some of these roles is that they could just forever just digitize them. We are seeing it very, like, we were seeing like now. Tarkin. Yeah, I mean, like, we've seen it with Tarkin. We've seen it with Leia. I mean, we see a lot now on TikTok and how easy it is for people to deep fake and get voice to sound very damn close to the actual person. You know, so the idea of actually losing these people, you know, and being able to keep them alive as these roles is very interesting. It's a weird thought to think that we can immortalize, really, truly immortalize people digitally now.
What's crazy is eventually you'll be able to make a whole movie like that. Like, you won't need...
Dude, look at Unreal 5. People are making video games by themselves and these beautiful... And they don't need, like, a 100-person team for level design. It's just one person with a paintbrush. It's nuts.
Yeah, I mean, we've looked into that for a while to produce short form and see what we can do with that. So if we can, you know, how many other people can?
Mm-hmm.
Production is changing drastically. COVID forced a lot of it along. So from, you know, being able to make movies and shorts and TV shows with smaller studios, being able to film on location, off location,
yep,
using things like the volume, like, production has completely, you know, Tim and I were watching Multiverse of Madness and I was like, oh, Tim, they did that on the volume. Like, you could see, if you have the eye for it, you've been in front of it and you've paid attention to other shows that use it, you can tell the difference. But not to the point where you're, like, ruining your immersion or anything. You can just be like, oh, that's a volume shot.
Yeah, but that's the thing, though, is, like, you know what you're looking at. So it kind of does take away from the mystery just a little bit because you're looking for the imperfections in the scene. You're looking for the seam or, like, you know, how did they hide it with this at real? What's the real object that they're using to hide the fake?
Yeah.
So it's, like, it's a cool lens to look at movies through once you've seen how they've, like, really, you've actually physically seen the technology that they go to use to make these films.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. And the whole thing is changing, so it's exciting to see the shift to that as we move forward.
But we were talking about, real quick, Kevin, we were talking about immortalizing people and people leaving, but Ian McDiarmid is not gone.
No, it's just both. Yeah.
He's and not he, gone. Kevin had a quick oh my god moment because he was on Twitter. And someone just said it was like one of those, like, Ian McDiarmid is still fine, God, or he's still alive, or he's good, or whatever. And Kevin thought that he died.
I was like, no, not our emperor. he is apparently, this is a quote from him, there's a certain show coming soon that right around the time I may have considered to be very active. Whether or not you see my physical, anyway. I can only hold that up for so long.
Again.
I cannot comment on, but you will certainly feel my presence. That screams Obi-Wan to me.
Yeah, so this makes sense.
People are saying or Andor. I'm like,
so that he can be in both. So in Kenobi makes sense. Oh, well, cause so the idea of them going to a shot of the Emperor to set the tone for a certain scene would make sense to me. So in Andor is going to be about, like, he's going to be the 007 or the MI6. He's going to be that, like, that secret agent, FBI kind of guy.
Andor's going to be ISB, the Moffs, you know, all of that stuff. So Moff Gideon could be in Andor. Like, there's way more chance to see people like that. The Emperor's always used in reference to Force users and the Force.
He's going to be used as a, just like, this is what's going on. People, he's one of those characters that is so shrouded in mystery and there's just not, he doesn't have a lot of screen time. So for them to give him more of like a, what was the Emperor doing when the Senate was dissolved? Like, what was the leadership looking like? Like, I would love to see I would love to see a scene of Coruscant with Palpatine in his throne room doing whatever. Like, I would love to see like that. Obi-Wan makes a lot of sense. Him communicating with Vader or having a scene where Vader's meditating with the Emperor or even if the Emperor just whispers, like, it's going to be like, you know, just like his voice.
Betray you by
something
a
like that. If he's just telecommunicating with him via the Force, makes perfect sense. I think him getting some screen time on Andor would be super cool though.
I just don't think it makes sense. I want Obi-Wan to show us how annoyed Anakin is with the Emperor at this point.
Yeah. So, I mean, we already know based off of the Vader comics.
Right. That's what I want them to tap into.
It's not that he's annoyed. He's really, really pissed off because the Emperor wanted to use Padme as a weapon. And you learn this in the Vader comics. So he ends up weaponizing Padme to target Anakin's weakness, which was his passion, his love. And so he starts going on this terrible path. He gets to when he turns into Vader. Everything's good. The Emperor's happy. What happens next is what goes on in the Vader comics where Anakin, you also see it in Vader Immortal, the VR game. It's this Vader is on this now path to resurrect Padme, to bring things back to the way that he wants them to be. The Emperor, when Vader comes back from finding Padme's tomb and figuring out people who are involved and all those things, when he was done going on his grand adventure to kill everybody, he comes back to the Emperor, and the Emperor says, "You have become weak. Your passion has made you soft, and now we have to start again." So he just he force lightnings him in the throne room. His Imperial guards come in and they start electrocuting him with their staffs. After that, Vader gets knocked out. He takes him to Mustafar. He throws him in the fire, literally just throws him in the lava. Vader's burning. He cuts off his arms and his limbs, literally leaves him the way that he found him when Obi-Wan and Anakin fought. And so this turmoil that Vader's going through is so intense, Kevin. It was almost unsettling in the Vader comics. And if they bring just a little bit of that to the screen, oh my God.
Yeah, that's what I want is if Lucas's goal is to make Vader into this, you know, I don't want to say anti-hero because I don't want to go that, but
he is an anti-hero.
Justifiable anger, even though he's done some terrible and horrible things. I'll go that far. I'm not going to use the word hero in reference to Vader. He's done too much.
I think with an anti-hero, they always end up being a little more chaotic neutral or a little more bad.
Hulk is an anti-hero to me.
No, I don't think so. Carnage, Venom. Venom is an anti-hero.
Venom is an anti-hero.
Venom is an anti-hero. That's why I think Vader, yes. He's done bad things, but it's always been in the Vader comics too, him going through this entire idea of having a kid and letting him down and letting himself down and letting Padme down, all these things, he feels real emotion and he's upset and he's angry and he's confused. And he's still trying to do the right thing. What he thinks is right. This entire conquest of trying to kill the Emperor and fix things. He is trying to fix things. He's trying to do things. He's trying to do what he feels like is the right way. And so that's why I feel like they're doing a really good job of setting him up to be an anti-hero. They've even said in the comics they're trying to position him as an anti-hero. They want that new Vader to not just be the slave to the Emperor, his guard dog. They want Vader to have a real character to him. It's more so than just this Frankenstein's monster that you get on screen.
I wonder about the word anti-hero, because the Joker movie tried to make Joker an anti-hero. I was like, no, you can't. That nope. And then Peacemaker show is trying to make Peacemaker an anti-hero, and you're like,
I think if you continuously look at Vader as a bad guy, you miss a lot of what is trying to be told in this story. Because Vader isn't the bad guy. The Emperor's the bad guy. He is tormented 100%. He is continuously tormented, not just by the Emperor, but by the loss of his loved one.
Is Baron Zemo an anti-hero? Is Hondo Ohnaka an anti-hero?
Yes.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yes, 100%. Can Darth Maul be considered an anti-hero? No, mm-mm. I would say he is a bad guy. 100%. No, he is 100% a bad guy. He is. Kevin, he took over
he's
a planet.
Complex.
He took over a planet.
He did, but he's also complex. And what was his end goal? It's exactly what he says.
To kill Obi-Wan.
But he says to Obi-Wan, right when he dies, there was something more important than that.
Is he the chosen one?
Yeah, that was it. That's all he wanted to know. He wanted to go to his grave knowing that the Emperor was going to fall.
But why did he want the Emperor to fall?
Because the Emperor had wronged him.
Exactly. The Emperor wronged him. Just like Vader got wronged. But I think the way that Vader goes about, because he has a redemption at the end, Maul doesn't have a redemption. There's no redemption story for Maul. It's not like he like has that like that moment of just like of fixing things. Like Anakin gets to fix it. And so that's why I think even like he ends up as a Force ghost, and because he ends up on the good at the end, that's why I think he's still an anti-hero. Because yeah, he's still like at the end of the day, he's still a good guy.
Punisher is an anti-hero to me.
100%. Punisher kills a lot of people.
But he has a
code.
Selfish but good reason to kill people.
He has a code. And if you, I mean, I honestly feel like Vader has a code too. I think Vader has a certain set of rules that he will not push. And I've recognized that in the comics because there's certain people he just won't kill. He kills people to get to what he wants. But if he doesn't have to kill them, he doesn't do it. Like the whole youngling slaughter scene, I think they're trying to get away from that Anakin. I think they know how much of like a meme that has become. And like he in the comics, he doesn't just go through and kill everybody. There are scenes where he goes and kills a bunch of people. But like when he was at Padme's tomb and he was like working alongside people that should have been his enemy, like he could have killed them, but he wanted to get things out of them. So he spared them and continued on. That's why like there's a lot of torment. There's a lot of indecision there.
Yeah. I think anti-hero would be a great debate / discussion.
I don't know. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I'd love to know. What are your impressions? Because I feel like it's a really great ambiguous term to break down characters and have, you know, full-on discussion. I think I've talked about it on this show. I might have talked about it in an old-fashioned. But one of my favorite, when the Dark Knight series was coming out, History Channel sat down a bunch of psychologists and had them analyze Batman and all of his villains as if they were real people.
Oh, that's really good.
You could tell some of them were like, this is the moment they had trained and studied for their entire career.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Was for someone to ask them this question. So they go through all the villains, you know, they make all the correlations to Riddler and the Zodiac Killer. And then they get the Joker and they talk about how it's yin to yang, heads and tails, you know, the opposite, reaction to reaction, action to reaction, I should say. And, you know, I would love to dive deeper into this discussion, not today.
Yeah,
of Vader as an anti-hero and compare and contrast to other so-called anti-heroes. But we would love to know what you all think.
100%. I will leave it at this, the definition on Wikipedia for anti-hero, and then we'll move on. An anti-hero or anti-heroine is a main character in a story. We'll use Vader, Anakin Skywalker, for this example, who lacks conventional heroic qualities and attributes such as idealism, courage, and morality, although antiheroes may sometimes perform actions that are morally correct. It is not always for the right reasons, often acting primarily out of self-interest or in ways that defy conventional ethical codes. So that's why I feel like Vader in the current picture that they are painting for him in the comic books and in hopefully in the way that they go about with Obi-Wan, I think he fits that definition, in my opinion.
All right. Well, here you go. We have a content piece for you now. I'm gonna talk to Paul after the show. We're gonna dive into this.
I'll be sick. I like this.
I think a third guest to weigh in.
Yes,
really
we definitely
good.
Need someone else.
I actually think Ben would be great for this because Ben has read so much Joseph Campbell.
He's also very
a lot
philosophical.
Of Joseph Campbell is what inspired Star Wars. So it'd really be great. Ben has the inside track on that over Tim and I just to bring him in. So I'm going to talk to probably post GCX. We could do this and have like a little roundtable discussion with Ben. We could do it in person in the studio with some scotch.
We could. That'd
Tim.
Be super fun. Yes.
Love it. I have content. Mike Thinks Aloud got us a bottle of Maker's Mark too on top of the other one. So we can break that open for that.
Hooray.
So yeah, there we go. Paul, write it down.
Sick.
Before we head out, I want to one thing from the Obi-Wan trailer that someone translated the Orbesh from his wanted poster.
Oh.
And it says, wanted Obi-Wan Kenobi, offenses of high treason, bounty upon capture. Capture, Tim, exactly what you said. Capture.
Yeah,
capture.
They don't want him dead.
No, he knows too much.
What I want to know is how do they figure out that he's alive?
I'm sure they'll give us that in the story.
So the only thing I can think of is that the transmission that Obi-Wan was transmitting to all Jedi, it got intercepted. Anakin maybe
intercepted.
Thought,
no body.
I mean, they thought, I mean, like, they all assumed that he fell and died. So, I mean, I guess you're right. Maybe they went dredging for it and they just couldn't find him. But I mean,
Padme's ship leaves Mustafar. They don't know who's on it.
Do they see it leave, though?
No, but I'm
the
sure
the only person that knew
it.
That Obi-Wan was on that planet was Anakin. So I guess yeah, he just assumed tell the that Emperor. He's still alive after that
fight.
Yeah,
he walked away. He beat me.
Good.
I never really thought about, and this is the whole thing, I never really thought about what happens with Anakin after he gets turned into Vader. Like what does he tell the Emperor?
It could also be, what if Bail gets captured?
I don't think so, because
no, he's in Rogue One.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so it's got to be a conversation.
What if one of their
Vader
communications
has.
Gets captured or intercepted?
That's what I think. I think either the one where he's like, this is Obi-Wan Kenobi. The Jedi Temple has fallen. That transmission when he's like, you know, stay hidden and whatever. I think that gets.
I
that
still
gets,
think Bail's been talking to Obi-Wan during this. I know he says no communication, but I have a feeling that he's been. At what, minimum, I have a feeling a message
I think
from
they meet
Bail's
up.
Gonna be
what
like,
if that planet that Obi-Wan goes to is the planet that he's been meeting up with Bail Organa?
Dayu?
Yeah.
Yeah, it could be. Or Bail, you know, is like, you know, they're onto you. You need to get off Tatooine and throw them off the scent or something like that.
They have intergalactic pigeons.
Because we know Yoda's not going to... There will be no Yoda in the show. Yoda has gone dark at this point, and he ain't talking to anybody. Because they need pigeons. Yoda to go insane a little bit. So they got to give him time to go insane.
He doesn't really go insane.
He's not all... His faculties are not all there by the time Empire rolls around him.
900 years old, you'll be crazy. You will.
Yeah.
You know?
So, I mean, and I don't blame him. Like, he's still, you know, he's still Yoda, and smart as a whip and you know, in touch with everything.
Mine!
When you live alone on a swamp planet for a really long time with probably Qui-Gon the only person you're talking to.
I don't know who you are.
I'm Yoda!
I don't know what you want.
Ah, to die!
I still think that Qui-Gon's going to be in the show. I don't care what
I, no, I agree
says.
With you 100%. He has to be.
I think he's throwing us off the scent.
Everybody is now. You know what? Everybody's like, I'm not in this and I'm not in that. You know what? I can't believe anybody. Everybody's in everything.
I agree. I call bullshit on all of it.
Yep.
Thank you so much for listening to episode 82 of Star Wars and Scotch. We appreciate you. Yeah, we'll be back next week with episode 83. Paul, we have Around the Galaxy next week, right? Yeah, with Pete from Around the Galaxy. So Pete will be joining us. We'll ask him. We can ask him some of these questions. And he has a great podcast, too, if you want to go check it out.
Let's do a lightning round. Darth Vader, anti-hero or not?
Off.
Yes or no? Answer.
Hi, nice to meet you. 10 questions, go.
Can we hit him with a lightning round as soon as we meet him?
God, that'd be...
What's your Metaclorian count?
That'd be a really funny TikTok segment, is like walking around Batuu and just walking up to people like Billy on the Street does. Billy Eichner.
I mean, I am going there this weekend.
Just walk up to random people. I guess this is like when COVID is a little bit more under control.
No, but I could go to cast members and I could ask them, what's your Metaclorian count?
Just walk up with your phone and be like, quick, tell me.
Dude, I got to do this now. Okay. I'm going to plan some content for the weekend. My wife's going to hate it.
Quick, tell me what the difference between these two ships. Anyway, yeah, that would actually be a lot of fun.
What's the difference between a chest and pit horn? Go!
Yes, yes. I am the eyes?
Oh, red eyes!
That's literally in all of the throne books. That's all they say is like, "Are you some sort of weird Ben Torin?" Or and he gets so annoyed.
Something
as
like
I would
that.
Be. Anyway, thank you so much for episode listening to episode 82. We'll be back next week with Around the Galaxy for episode 83. Make sure you head over to kingscoastcoffee.com and gcxevent.com/tickets. Star Wars and Scotch will be live from the floor on GCX with Star Wars Explained, Mark Thompson. And Sawyerism. You can check out Tim Darkness429 on Facebook, fb.gg/Darkness429, Darkness429 everywhere else on the interwebs.
Yes.
And you can check me out, Kevin X Vision, on Twitter and at Rare Drop everywhere else. And if you want to interact with us on Facebook or Twitter. It's at Star Wars Scotch on Twitter and Star Wars Scotch on Facebook. You have a great week. We'll see you next week. And may the Force be with you.
Always?